Hi, I'm Valerie.
And I'm Imra.
And we are two African Americans.
Welcome to Two African Americans, a place for courageous conversations that heal. Today, our discussion centers around Juneteenth, what it is, and what exactly it means to those who celebrate it. Also, do we know the whole story when it comes to our American history? Why is it important to tell the story of our nation's past without filtering out the hard truths? Valerie and Emra attempt to answer these questions in today's episode, Why We Need Juneteenth.
So good to be here together again today and cannot believe that it's halfway through the year, literally almost halfway through June. And yes, that leads me to ask a question. We are going to celebrate here in the United States Juneteenth. What is that all about?
Well, that's a great question, Amara. It's actually the commemoration of June 19th, 1865, when the Union soldiers came into Galveston, Texas, to let the slaves there know that there had been an Emancipation Proclamation and that they were technically free. It actually happened on January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. At that time, when it was declared the Union soldiers had won and that slavery was abolished. And somehow, the slaves in Texas had not been given that information. And so it's that celebration of hearing that you're free, that you no longer belong to anyone else. And it is a commemoration that has been going on for decades in the African-American community. A lot of people became aware of it. The general population became aware of it, I'd say, a couple of decades ago. And since then, they've been trying to get it to become a national holiday. And 2021, June 19th of 2021, was the first official federal holiday commemorating Juneteenth.
That's delightful. That's why, I mean, I've lived here so long, why I never really knew about it. Yeah. So it's actual official now. And I know in our area, there's quite a few celebrations. Mm-hmm. The last few years, being more aware of it and not understanding it, I think I even must have Googled it at some point. Mm-hmm. It's not something that drew me in. I'm not one for celebrations. Mm-hmm. I don't like crowds to go and party hard, and definitely not in summer. I've had my fair share of going to 4th of July, which let's talk about that too. Mm-hmm. But I don't celebrate, you know, don't give me the big, hot, sticky crowd, crazy experience. So it's never felt like a part of me. Mm-hmm. But I've got to say that since we are getting to know one another and truly becoming sisters, sometimes I think we need to do the little blood prick finger and exchange a little blood. I'll say, we're blood sisters.
Blood sisters, yeah.
And a few conversations back, We've spoken about so many of these details, but it makes me that if you celebrate that and you mean that much to me, I need to shake it up a little. And whether I celebrate it quietly, but at least give thanks with you. For me, it's nothing about having to go to an event that's outdoors mm-hmm. and crazy, but it is about respecting and appreciating a process that truly was life-changing.
Absolutely. And you mentioned 4th of July. A lot of African Americans consider this Juneteenth, the celebration of June 19th, 1865, to be our Independence Day. Because July 4, 1776, we were not free. You know, the country was celebrating, I guess, a form of freedom, but African Americans were still enslaved at that time. And so this is considered like that Independence Day for us. We do know that struggles continued, and they continue today, but it was that moment of saying, you know, things that have been withheld from you, you now have some semblance of opportunity. It was a long fight from that day, but that is what is considered the Independence Day for us.
That's a beautiful thing, and it's powerful, and it's important that all cultures, if we truly respect one mm-hmm. another, can celebrate that day together for that reason. Mm-hmm. I also feel that the 4th of July is not a thing to abolish. It is a thing to be thankful for, because this country got freedom from British rule. Mm-hmm. So no matter who we were, who we are today, it is great that we've built our own nation, that over generations could get to the point to see that all people are really equal. And I kind of, when I ponder all of that, equated to our own spiritual journey, even just a psychological journey that each human has, when you inherit the sins of the father, as we speak scripturally about mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm. you are passed down from generation to generation challenges.
Right.
You have to, either you have a slavery mindset to that, or a victim mindset. Mm-hmm. Or you don't want to do the work to overcome what your parents unwittingly, usually, pass down to you. So at some point, we all become grown-ups, and we have to take it on ourselves to find healing and growth. And I find that when I look at that process for each of us, it's not instant.
No, it's not.
It takes sometimes a lifetime yes. for us to be fully healed. So I feel to rejoice from the 4th of July to Juneteenth that there was progress, that over time, and we're speaking a lot about the pains that African Americans mm-hmm. have endured, regardless of what the law eventually stated and how long it's taken, and even till this day, mm-hmm. as we have highlighted in some of our conversations, that there is there true freedom from slavery. It is a process, and if we continue to do the work to heal and see one another,
yes,
I pray that sooner than many generations, something can change.
Emra, I think, you know, you're going down a really good path here. I think that in order for us to really find healing as a nation, healing as a people, that we have to acknowledge the past. You know, I think there's a lot of history denying going on. We feel that if we are talking about history, the truth about history, then we're putting shame on someone or putting a negative light on a group of people. And that's not the case. In order to move forward, you have to acknowledge history. There has to be an admission that something wrong happened in the past. But if we all become history deniers, or if we become people who want to paint a rosy history, then we get stuck where we are, because you're going to have those conversations instead of moving forward, conversations about healing, conversations about progress. You're going to have arguments about what is true and what is real. And that's kind of where we are right now. So we have to stop denying history and start admitting what happened and say, that's not who we are or want to be. And then we can start having some healing conversations. But I think there has to be that admission that history is true. It is. In 1776, Black people were enslaved. That's a fact. We can't change it. We can't make it any different. In 1865, Black people had been emancipated, but those in Galveston, in Texas, did not know that, because people who appreciated and benefited from slavery did not give that information. And African Americans at that time, it wasn't like, you know, we had access to the public system and we knew what was coming down from Washington. It was, they were reliant on the people who at that time owned them. So admitting that history happened, admitting that it was a gross injustice, and saying that out loud, and, you know, just taking a deep breath and say, now how do we heal and move forward? So I guess my thing is, I'm tired of the conversations about whether history actually happened. Guess what? It did. It did.
To my knowledge, this is an open conversation now. I would hate to think that there's anyone that doesn't know this is a fact. That's what it is. Mm. What I more often hear, because it's common, I think they're changing the books in the schools. History is history. At the same time, you can't throw out any of the good pieces of the war between the Brits and who wanted to be Americans. We got to keep all the pieces of it.
Absolutely.
What I'm find and I hear more is, this was history. This is what happened. It has changed. Yes, every morsel of it takes a while for every human to change. It takes time for a slave mentality to leave a community that was steeped in it, whether they be African American of color or whether they are Caucasian within that. So that is humanity. But at what point do we only live in the past and not further our individual healing to look forward into the present? So knowing that happened, and I feel we're doing that with our podcast. We're stating the facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small step. I can only pray that it becomes a giant step.
Absolutely.
To furthering these conversations about the reality, but then living for the future. Because if we only live in the past, it's like mm-hmm. Lot's wife.
Mm-hmm.
When God said, do not keep looking back. She did. She turned into a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. And that always tells me that when we look back, we freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stay stuck in our emotional longing and our past, we will not be able to take the steps of healing for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I hear what you're saying. And I get it. And that's the way it should be. However, we live as humans in human experiences. And I would never want to stay in the past, mainly because the past for my people was so painful and hurtful. However, what I've learned from the past of my ancestors is that we are a resilient people, that what should have killed my people and wiped them out actually made us stronger and brought us together. And now we are able to tell those stories and still move forward. My concern is when history begins to be written in a way that it writes out that resiliency, as it is in some Florida textbooks. Right now, Rosa Parks, who was an African-American woman who helped give rise to the Montgomery bus boycott, because she would not give up her seat when the bus driver came and was telling her, the law says that as a black person, you have to give up your seat if a white person needs it. Bear in mind, she was in the black section of the bus. So she's sitting in the area that you've designated for her, and you still want her to move. And so now Florida textbooks are just saying that Rosa Parks didn't give up her seat and because she was tired, and that's the story. What does a child learn from that? nothing about the true history. And so I think that that's what I'm saying. Let's tell the truth about history, and then we can heal. We can stop having the conversations about who Rosa Parks was. We know who she was. We know what her life meant to not just African Americans, but to Americans, how it has changed the way our system looks today. So my thing is, let's be honest about it. Then we can move forward. I think a lot of people get stuck in the past because it's like we're trying to get you to believe and understand what the past was. Does that make sense?
It does. You know how I function and work, that, getting ideas, getting a plan together, and we're all about story. So what about, has someone written the history book that sees both sides of the entire history without bias?
There are many history books from the past that are like that. I think the bias, well, there's always been bias. Let me just say that. There's implicit bias, if nothing else. That implicit bias is you tend to see things from your perspective and from your, you know, your worldview, regardless of who you are, black or white. There's some bias that goes on in that area. But there, most history books of the past have been very, you know, just non-emotional. It's just, this is history. These are the facts. I think in probably the last 20 years is when we've gotten into this whole thing about painting it in a positive light, because we don't want children to think that they are born racist. They're not born racist. Racism is taught. And it's taught when we're not willing to talk about real history, true history. And so I think Juneteenth is a perfect opportunity to begin to have education where we're talking about real history and having conversations about that, and saying that we are people. People are people. You're not born bad. You're taught bad things. Can we now look at history and not make a white child feel guilty or shame, and not make a black child feel oppressed or, you know, left behind? But can we tell the truth and say black people have been resilient through the things they've endured, and the fact that they are still here and still progressing? And can we say that there are white people that help to make a difference in how this country moved forward, and be good about that?
Oh, girl, I think this, we're going to make a chapter in our book. And for those of you that are listeners, we are writing to African Americans. You will read and hear so much of both our stories in there. We are going to be speaking about the history of our city, which is very diverse. That's the chapter we're working on now, the many cultures that influenced the city. Mm-hmm. We are going to then include, let's put some real truth. Let's put some just plain factual historical truth, mm-hmm, in a way. I just love the words that you just use, and let's use it in a way. This is who we are, mm-hmm, now.
Yeah.
And then we know that the other topics in our book are, so what are we going to do?
Absolutely. I will say this too, Imra, in what you just said about history. African-American history, hearing the positive things that black people contributed to our country, I didn't hear that a lot in school. It was taught a lot in my home, but I didn't hear it a lot in school. You know, most people have heard about Martin Luther King Jr. and his contributions. A lot of people have heard about Rosa Parks that we just spoke of. But how many people have heard about Patricia Bath? And Patricia Bath is actually an American inventor, an African-American inventor, who actually came up with the laser probe that we still use today in cataract surgeries. How many people have heard about her? How many people have heard about Marie Van Britten Brown. I will tell you, that was one that I just looked up and learned about myself. But she invented the home security system, something that, you know, today is a mainstay in most houses. New houses are smart homes, but it began because of a Black woman named Marie Van Britten Brown, who invented the security system. And then let's talk about Otis Boykins. Now, we have, this is someone who has directly affected Radiant Church, because one of our very own, Susan Smith's mother, just had a pacemaker planted. Otis Boykins, he invented the wire that connects, that makes the pacemaker work. But how many of us have heard about him? Not very many. And so this is an opportunity. Juneteenth, the book we're writing, the conversations we're having, are opportunities to begin to highlight the fact that there are so many people who have contributed to this great American experiment that we call the USA, and not just a particular majority group, but there are African American inventors, there are indigenous inventors. I mean, really and truly, we wouldn't have known how to live in America had it not been for the indigenous teaching people how to farm and how to work the land. We are all so important, but we sometimes only hear it from one slant or one perspective. So this is an opportunity to open more doors and shine more lights.
Thank you for joining us today on Two African Americans. We so appreciate your support as we delve into these sensitive topics. If you have any questions or suggestions for future podcast topics, please reach out to us at twoafricanamericans@gmail.com. Have a great day.